This is a production of Cornell University.
Essay meeting September 4th, 2008.
Excellent. All the microphones are not working today. It's just the one I have and then the one at the podium. So you'll have to speak very loud. But I'm confident we all can do that.
You're not doing that panel.
Next item on the agenda, approval of the minutes from last semester, April 24th, 2008, and May 1st, 2008. We'll start April 24th. Reminder, as per resolution 25, I believe, of last semester, minutes are not printed. They are only electronic instead of the paper we were using in the past. So everyone should have looked at them electronically. Are there any motions?
Call for acclamation.
There's been a call for acclamation. Is there a second? That was for April 24th. Now, May 1st, 2008. Approval of the minutes.
Call for acclamation.
And a call for acclamation. Is there a second? Second. All right. Now, the official start of the 2008-2009 academic year for student assembly. Everyone, please stand. Please take out the oath of office sheet that should be among the papers in your pile. Please raise your right hand. In view of the trust the Cornell community has vested in me,
as well as my personal sense of honor,
I,
Chris Trevable,
J. Anthony Miller,
do solemnly affirm to fulfill my responsibility as a student elected representative.
Do solemnly affirm to fulfill my responsibility as a student elected representative.
I will engage in open and honest debate.
I will engage in open and honest debate.
In a process where I am guided by truth and fairness. I will never purposely misrepresent facts in an effort to achieve my goals. If a conflict of interest arises, I will relinquish my right to participate in the decision-making process. I will speak out and voice effectively. The interests and concerns of the student body. Address the issues of my fellow students. And strive to improve the quality of life at Cornell for all students. Thank you. Please sign, print your name, date it, and hand it up to me.
At this point in the meeting, I would like to remind everyone in the audience that all Cornell students are considered non-voting members of the student assembly. If you'd like to bring any issue forward to the student assembly, you can speak now, go up to the table, the microphone, and you have 2 minutes to call the assembly if you have anything to say. Nothing? Thank you, guys. On to announcements and reports.
All right, I have the first announcement / report. Quite a little welcome address for you all. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to 2008-2009 Student Assembly Academic Year. Last semester, former SA President C.J. Slicker welcomed the SA to a new semester of service as his first meeting of the year. Former SA President Ron Greenberg gave success to the SA on expectations of the first meeting of the year before C.J., Kwame Thompson before that, and Tim Lin before that. 4 years later, here we are, a group of service-oriented individuals who, for the first time in many years, comprise an assembly where a minority of members are incumbent. Just about 3/4, 74% of the draft of representatives of the SA, after the union elections take place at the end of this month, will be new to the SA, new to the system, and new to freedom politics that has sometimes penalized our cause. Professor Ryan Barenberg of the Dialogue School, Cornell 15 professor, asked his economics at university class yesterday, why does the university allow shared governance with its students? Why do they pay for an office to support us? Why are they willing to join our efforts and invite us to join theirs? Sure, there is definitely a leadership in committing Cornellians who will hopefully later, when their alumni will contribute to this university, But more importantly, they know we would do it anyway. We'd find a way to govern ourselves. We'd find a way for our voice to be heard. If the university did not create this bureaucratic institution of elected leadership and shared government, well, I don't know, the next ABC might be $900 instead of $200. Over near the library might close at 10 p.m. instead of being open at 2 a.m. or open all night. Your guys' sports passes might cost money. We're giving out the community to participate in a system of shared governance because the administration and the Cornell community recognize the essential role we play at Cornell. The Hubble Vice President and the Marketing President of Thornton are not only administrators, are not only our administrators, but they are our colleagues. We represent almost 3,500 undergraduates from 7 different colleges, and we'll soon have a new student representative join us in a formal assembly of 23. While working to improve undergraduate student life at Cornell and serve as the official liaison for Cornell administration and the Board of Trustees, reporting directly to the President with task resolutions and actions. In the coming months, we will have to address and implement structural and cultural changes to our assembly discussed during last semester's block analysis. We will have to address and help lead the undergraduate role in Cornell's mission of sustainability. We will have to address the concerns about PeopleSoft, transportation on campus, a need for better and new carpool programs, issues within the new West Campus residential community, relationships with the city of Ithaca and a law enforcement agency who continue to abuse the noise for administration, financial aid policy, gathering prices, Cornell's response to the Amethyst Initiative, and the list goes on. The undergraduate community, the Cornell Governor's son, the Cornell administration, are all discussing a lot tonight. The bar was raised last year, and the Cornell community has made clear their charge. We have to, and we will, fulfill all of these expectations. Oh, and did I mention, we're going to have fun. Productivity will join us. We are going to have social events not covered by the student activities here, of course. We're going to promote humor during the meeting when necessary. You are all going to have fun. We are community members who are young and going to have fun. I'm even going to try to entertain whatever sound reporter that comes. But on a serious note, the student assembly gave no outlet for egotistical monologues, bullying, patronizing, etc. If there was one thing that bothered me about previous student assembly members who have graduated, it was their lack of spirit and sensitivity. Trust me, fight limits will only lead you to political isolation on this assembly. So, friends, student assembly members, and community members, welcome to the Memorial Room, welcome to Wilderness Hall, welcome to the student assembly. Let's roll up our sleeves, get to work, and enjoy yourself. Thank you. Next on the agenda for announcements and reports, we have greetings and introductions from both of our student elected trustees, and we'll start with Kate Duke, undergraduate student elected trustee.
Hi everyone. First of all, I'm very excited to have fun. I'm very excited to meet you. I'm the senior student elected trustee, which means that I'm entering my second and final year on the board. I wanted to introduce myself for two reasons. First, because I attend these meetings very regularly. Secondly, because for those of you who don't know, I really want to make all of you feel comfortable approaching me anytime. If there's an issue that you're interested in pursuing, I cannot, of course, talk about it with the executive board, but if there's anything else that I can do, certainly, you know, you can feel free to send me an email or contact me in any way, because I do want to be involved with what you are doing as a group. Last year, I was involved in a number of different efforts with the assembly members, such as anybody attending to a trip. In the next couple of weeks, Becca and I are going to be making new resolutions, so I think I'm very involved in the members of the year and being able to be able to make any time. And I'm going to pass over to Mike.
Thank you, Jake. And Michael Walsh is graduate of the student elected trustee.
Graduate student trustee? I guess I'm the junior student trustee, although I'm hopefully with the case. This is my first term. I'm starting out in the past. I served as a vice president of graduate professional student assembly, so I know that you guys go through very well. And I just like to thank all of you for showing up here today, for running for office, and representing your constituency. And on that note, even though I'm a graduate education undergrad, we're both, you know, student trustees, and that means we represent the entire student body. But that doesn't mean that, you know, I'm going to solve some graduate issues, the case is solve some graduate issues. It's going to be across the board, fun time. I think the two of us are working together a lot this year. I also know to work with you guys. One of the big issues that's up for me this year is sustainability. I I've been working on the Southern Poverty Rehabilitation Committee, and in about 2 weeks, I'm going to be releasing an inventory of Cornell's greenhouse gas emissions. And then we're going to be kicking off a climate action plan. And we're going to be trying to engage all members of Cornell community, especially students, on ways to mitigate our carbon footprint here at Cornell in preparation to report that to basically a year from now, in which we make a plan to commit to carbon neutrality by sometime around mid-century. So that's one of my big issues here. I hope to hear from you guys and see your ideas as well. And thank you for keeping up with me now. Okay?
Thank you very much. Thank you both for coming. I appreciate it. Next on the agenda, we have an elections announcement from Director of Elections, Procurement. Any other questions? All right, thank you very much. Next on the agenda, Vice President Miller with a staff and committee announcement.
Thank you, Ron. Firstly, we do have some vacancies we need to fill for the staffing, the CIC chairman, or chairperson, the Committee on Women's Issues, and the Employee Assembly, still needs to be chaired by a number of student assemblies. In terms of general committee staffing, I want to thank my President of Public Relations and the Office of the Assembly. They have run multiple ads on Facebook, The Daily Sun, and pamphlets and mailbox. Our employees have received multiple applications already. I will be looking over them this weekend generally, I did not, but I also would like to open the door for members of the student assembly to join me on the staffing committee. We'd like to invite you next week. Please come talk to us this day that works best for you. We're pretty flexible. I'd like to go over the applications that I received from RA in the office and fill vacancies. I'd like to get these done by September 25th. That would be my goal. RA told me that we do have quite a number of applications submitted to the internet. Send me that one I'll let you use, so thank you again for that. And please come talk to me if you're interested in joining the staff Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Tony?
Yes. In theory, I would like to have all our vacancies filled by September 27th.
So, again, just to reiterate, if you're interested in helping out and serving on the staffing committee, please keep calling after the meeting.
Any other questions?
Okay, the board safety discussion, Representative Gray. So, I'm sorry, Representative Gray, is this a discussion or is this an announcement? You know what, we'll say that for the day then, just to announce it out there. Sorry, thank you. Schedule item, previous office update by myself and Representative Bagel.
I think we need this right now. Okay. I guess I'll go ahead and do it anyway. We'd all like to give kudos to Ari, who has this summer worked on an alternate election system. This is not related to PeopleSoft. But this will hopefully save us $12,000 that we spend every year on an election, online election system to do our FA elections. So kudos to Ari. The system looks really good, and it will be in place for the national elections in a couple weeks. So I got Schedulizer, PeopleSoft. Ryan, myself, and a couple other members of the executive board met with David Yeh, the university registrar, last Friday, I think it was, to talk about Schedulizer and PeopleSoft. On the Schedulizer issue, we were very satisfied. Both issues were very satisfied, but Schedulizer especially, for anyone who doesn't know, Schedulizer was down for a day due to problems working with the PeopleSoft system. But currently the administration is working with Schedulizer to make the system accessible so that there won't be any errors for Schedulizer times, and they're being very cooperative, basically recognizing that Schedulizer is indispensable for for students designing their schedules. So on that issue, there's been a lot of progress just made in the last week, and we're very confident with what the administration is doing. With PeopleSoft, we were also, I guess I'm going to go ahead and speak for us, we were very happy with David Yeh's attitudes towards PeopleSoft in the sense that he recognizes that there's a problem, a big problem, as anyone who tried to do course enroll or add drop can attest to. Currently they are performing investigations as to why the servers malfunction, which is essentially what happened. And he will be back to us in the next week, and David Yeh will probably come in for questions from the broader assembly next Thursday's meeting, so he can deliver a report to us about what went wrong exactly. And I guess stemming from that, he wants student assembly input as to how we can improve the course enroll and add-drop process. A lot of the suggestions stem from sort of increasing the specialization about who gets to add-drop and course enroll when, from maybe right now, as everyone knows, it depends on, what class you're in, seniors enroll first, et cetera. He was talking about further specializing that, further breaking it down, so there's less strain in the system. So that's something that we can talk about next week, so I guess start thinking about that. Any questions? Yeah. I mean, Schedulizer is a private company. It's run by students. So, basically what we were talking about is there's been a disconnect between how the administration is putting up course information on PeopleSoft and how Schedulizer is bringing that information down to their website, which is why there were problems. So that's what the administration is focusing on, is bridging that disconnect. So in terms of, that would be improving Schedulizer's actual performance. So in that case, you'd have to email Schedulizer and, say, hey guys, this would be cool if you could do that.
And just to be a little more specific, is the problem stemming from when the system of PeopleSoft, the way the Schedulizer retrieves the information, all the course information and everything like that, because of the different system, different setup, that's a flag of problem. Now, Cornell, voluntarily, I might add, they're being very cooperative with Schedulizer, and they're essentially accommodating them. But course numbers, right, that's something we can go through Schedulizer, that's something you can kind of, Schedulizer can do that, certainly.
sun and the radar. And just to reiterate, tentatively the day will be coming next week. And again, we'll publicize this, Nikki will publicize this in the sun. Do you want to do anything from this page terrible to the way we have to and second it should be changed this way? He really wants our feedback. It's a new system, so they're analyzing it on a daily basis and changing it almost on a daily basis. Finance announcement from BCCNet.
Just two real quick things. First, if I could meet with all the committee chairs after the meeting, I just want to go over a few things. I'm going to ask each committee to submit a budget to me that we'll talk about in the Appropriations Committee so we can kind of keep better track of our spending this year and try to stick more to a budget than we have in years past. The other thing I wanted to give you an update on is Ryan and I will be meeting with all of the Byline-funded organizations going through their Appendix B stipulations, making sure that they understand everything in there, seeing if there's anything that needs to be reevaluated or readdressed. After kind of watching the whole process last year and evaluating it again, I'm not too pleased personally, and I know other people aren't, with how the whole Appendix B process is handled. So we just kind of want to go back through, look and see if we missed anything, see if we can make Appendix B any better, and then also make sure clubs understand the stipulations, and then also just introduce ourselves to the leaders of those organizations. So just want to give you that update.
Thank you. Any questions for Greg? Okay. Do you want to make any other quick announcements that is not on the agenda? Okay. Move on to business of the day, for discussion on board of safety.
For those of you that don't know, one of my friends and one of a lot of students' friends, Douglas Lowe, died in the gorges, mid-June-ish, over the summer. And so that sort of prompted a lot of students to take a look at the gorges around campus. Their sort of safety, their non-safety, the way things are being watched by the police or by other emergency individuals. So that led me to send out an email to you guys and say, maybe we should take a look at this and see what we can do with the vice president and the president himself, President Scorton. So I ended up getting a couple responses from the Commencement on Awareness. And so what I did was I drafted up a letter and sent it out to the administration over the summer, saying that, you know, we're a little bit concerned about the gorges. We're wondering what needs to be done, whether it means testing the gorges, whether it means talking to the police about going down there more often to make sure that other things do not happen. And basically the letter was saying that we need to start a discussion. And so I had a few responses from President Scorton as well as Vice President Murphy. I had a conversation with the public. And pretty much the administration's stance is that, well, it's legal to close the gorges. But what I was getting from our conversations is that it's been such a big part of our Cornell experience. Going back half the 50 members of Cornell was founded, it has gorgeous. Look on any list to help students to go swimming in gorgeous for the graduates. And so it's going to be hard for us to jump into things and say, you know what, don't swim in the gorgeous anymore. One of the things that we are thinking about when back to this letter is that the new incoming class of students, we took a very active stance towards not swimming in the gorges. Perhaps the students would think twice. They would look at the warnings and look at, you know, people's thoughts saying, my friend died a month ago, please don't go into the gorges. And so that's why we're trying to get active in the summer. But really what they were saying is that the administration was taking steps. Each freshman, when they pick up and sign in and during the orientation, they receive a new packet, the gorges of Cornell, which, I mean, it talks about what the gorges talks about in the game. Also, for those of you that probably seen some fencing around gorges, there is a fence.
But there are already holes in the fence. And you look any day of the weekend, students are still going down to Georgia. So pretty much, I'm coming here today to start a discussion. I'd be interested in working with individuals to see what needs to be done and what can you do. I'm not necessarily advocating policing, definitely not advocating the policing per se. But like President Murphy said, and what Dean Hubble said in the past, you can work with the New York State and with other authorities to clean out the gorges. There's a lot of garbage underneath that makes it a little bit more dangerous, that picks up the tides or whatever you want to call it, that sort of makes it more dangerous location than it is. So perhaps we need some of our funds, anything of that nature. But if you are interested in this, students behind me that are interested in joining the assembly prep, I think you need to start a discussion before another student, another tragedy, and then saying no, it looks like a change. So I'm willing to work on this, and you're able to come to me and pass the brain for the nutrition here and see what needs to be done.
Thank you, Ricky. While this is underway today, I will open this up for discussion and open up the speaker for anyone who might like to make it or ask any questions. That's very nice.
Speak up.
Sorry, I'm not going to be able to yell.
Again, policing might not be the correct idea because it's been such an tradition and students are wanting to do it anyway. So maybe an education program or more availability of pamphlets and an orientation day, an orientation we should describe as a dangerous and going through. But I definitely think that we should do the mission that we need to do.
Sure, so that was also part of the discussion. The one specifically where we dug a blow dive down behind Fiji in that sort of area. And that one, as we have said, was specifically dangerous, and it's known to have shotgun parts underneath, just lots of different types of debris that sort of kicks up again the tides and everything. So that's specifically dangerous. There are more, I don't know offhand necessarily, perhaps we can bring in specialists or... And perhaps there is something that we can get, you know, maybe one board that is definitely more safe than others, you know, maybe just sort of a spot, and if that means, you know, what we can do with lifeguards or anything of that nature, maybe we can highlight one board and sort of warn another a lot more than we're warning the other ones. So, that can be part of the suggestion that you can find out.
For information, that is the gorge. When you're looking at statistics, that was the majority, grand majority of testing. What they did calling it, there's a hole under those falls, and folks are getting stuffed under. When you get stuffed under, it's not just in there. So, is there anyone else would like to speak there?
Okay. I definitely think it's great to have these discussions, and I think it's definitely something that can benefit the community. I think, you know, maybe you should put a resolution together, put an ad hoc committee together, get some, maybe some university people on there that are interested in that to kind of explore and bring back over the course of the next semester different, you know, options that we can look at and discuss and get some people that really know and have, you know, the facts about these different areas. As part of our committee, I think that could be something that would benefit everybody.
I just wanted to mention that broader than the scope of Cornell University administration, there are many community members here in Ithaca and New York State as a whole community that are involved in these kind of gorge tragedies. Believe it or not, the dive team involved in a rescue here in Ithaca often comes from my hometown an hour and a half away, and that's the New York State Police. So there are a lot of discussions that do have to occur, but we want to remember that we are asking other people, community members are involved in the gorges, and other organizations far from campus are involved in campus and gorge safety. So that's just an easy testimony.
Now, so I think that we really need to focus on bringing more awareness to this issue, especially with new students, transfer students, and freshmen. And so just some kind of campaign, I remember giving that flyer to and not opening it, so it's something that stands out more as in, this is information about the gorges. These are the ones that make more safe or less safe, and where people should be going, just so that, especially just right now, that none of this happens, because a lot of people don't know about these incidences, and I think we really need to get on board so that it doesn't happen again.
Thank you. Back to anyone else? I'd
like a motion to move Resolution 3 to business of the day, right from the standing rules.
Second. And a motion to move Resolution 3, which you
Resolution to be pledged.
There's no resolution number, this is the third resolution that passed. That's not 1 and 2, that's 3. Is there a motion to move that to business of the day? Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you. To close that, thank you very much, Asa. Two things. One, there is a gorge safety meeting scheduled with administrative and city officials on Friday, September 12th. It's a closed meeting, but I'm going to see how many students have represented themselves. I will obviously try to push, obviously, you've taken this on for yourself and as many as you need to go, I'll let you know. And additionally, I asked, if you and everyone is interested in helping you out, please consult with ASA and have something by next week, whether it's an ad hoc committee or whatever you might decide, to report back to the student center so we can see where we're going from the next step. If you can report back to us next week. Thank you very much. Yes. Next item on business is the day approval of the OAO understanding rule by Vice President Davis.
So, there were a couple of semantic changes that were made,
I'm going to choose our change responsibility for future after the practice is actually certain number transfer responsibility to the executive board and we hold that day because we feel from that day we can deal with that issue. So yeah, that is the
okay, floor is open. Thank
you. Yeah, how are we expecting to support the
This was put in there by NABJAC last year, so that the executive board can cycle the communications embodied. Again, the thing is right now we have no ability to send out a mass email, which again we're working on the executive board, obviously, we've been, multi-years, you've been on the side.
Just to clarify, sorry, correct me if I'm wrong. You can submit an email to the registrar from us if you want to let the entire team body. There is a means that's not necessarily a very flexible and autonomous one. That's what we're working on. There is a means, and it's by approval, by any, when you have an evidence of approval, it seems to be simple majority.
Yeah,
I
agree with you that
so is that a motion? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So the motion is Rule 18, page 7, Rule 18. The motion is to that first, the executive board may approve a message by majority vote, and the vote may be conducted by email. So essentially, a motion to add that to Rule 18. So, second.
Second.
Ready to second?
Second.
I'd
actually prefer the
keep the lead.
No, but you can bring it back so that we kind of
because and you're not attempting that.
I'm studying this motion and I'm saying you should add that to the last sentence as part of the add.
Okay, okay. What do we have to speak with for this dissent? Do you want anyone else to
say? I can.
We were in the center already on the floor, and then you're explaining where you are.
You elected an executive board for student members to trust us to make these judgments and decisions. Paper trail to me seems like more of your pathway. You entrusted the executive board to act in your best interest. We will do so, and you entrust us to approve the decision for a mass email and headline on the text. It would take at least 10 days to get that out anyway. Of course, we'll come back to you unless you know any decision you made.
Thank you. Sorry. Is anyone else that hasn't spoken would like to speak, and then I'll open a second speaker question. Again, we're discussing now the motion that's on the table, Phil. David.
Yeah, I guess I was mentioning the intent of my vision to have, which is sort of really just to create a family board a little bit, and I shouldn't think, it was worth our time, basically, it's something that will very rarely take place, I guess. But, even though sort of come here and be in college of folks and talk about read the email out or whatever message you sort of deal with this is the executive board reflexes to just deal with it on the side. So I mean if you and the assembly members would prefer to have that in there, I'm not opposed to it. So basically again my intent is to lessen the burden I guess the assembly and increase the burden of the executive board.
Okay, anyone else who's first to speak with? Yeah.
I saw the question. I don't really understand what type of email we're speaking about, who we're sent. I mean, what's the mass message? The name of who is it?
Well, I can read the sentence and then if you can understand. Any student assembly member, including vice president of public relations, must submit a mass message to the executive board for approval. So, any email that's going out to the entire student body, any press release to perhaps the Cornell Daily Sun, et cetera, anything that's on behalf of the student assembly, so this is creating a mechanism for approval.
Okay.
I, for example, want to send an email to every Cornell student.
Right.
In my, like, in my name as a student assembly member, but me, but in my name.
If you want to send an email, I'm not sure if the university registrar will let you, but...
So I would send it to you, and you vote and approve it or disapprove it, and then it gets sent to the student.
I'm sorry, I don't want to go through this process. If you want to speak in the speaking book, raise your hand, and then I'll know the list, and we'll go from there. Representative Gansha.
I agree with you, and my comment is that
we're talking about granting the motion first, and after we vote on that, whatever happens to that motion, and then you get something you can motion that at. Run this with Drummond's motion. The speaker's list is open, no one on the speaker's list now.
Okay, so basically, it's not
that I wasn't
saying anything about the trust, that I fully trust our next choice. I'm just saying that there wasn't voting on something, it was that we know that the next meeting is so explained it's hard for them to say voted in 5-4 to send out this message to everyone. Just so that we know what was going on. But say I do this message to everyone, I want to send it. All you guys may not know what my correspondence with the executive board may be. And if that way when they announce it to everyone and say, hey, the board to the executive board, that may everyone know what's going on. So this is the way to do that. You talk about email sales, it's not much of an email sale. So you print out an email, it doesn't necessarily have to be printed today. There aren't that many mass messages, so it's not like we're going up and talking to a lot of people. It's just so that we as a student members know that the decision was made, what was made, and then we find out. It's really, it's not super important. So with that, I'm going to make a motion to move what's there, for what systems you believe is that into the mechanical rules. So it will be inspection, and even the assembly member, including the vice president for public relations, will submit a mass message, email, advertisement, press release, etc. to the executive board for approval. The executive board may approve the message by majority vote and vote may be accepted by the chair. The email record must be saved and reported at the next SA meeting by the vice president for public relations.
Thank you. The motion to re-add that to Rule 18, is there a second? There is a second.
Just then.
There's a second. Greg, please explain it.
I don't know, this might just be picky. It's a little bit of a language issue. The whole, like, email record, it sounds like if you don't save it on, you know, in your inbox and you don't print it out with the right time stamp. You know what I mean? I know we ran into a lot of those email record issues on the Appropriations Committee last year. I would just maybe ask to rephrase it slightly to say the whatever message that was sent to the, you know, Cornell community or whatever mass message was sent be reported by the Vice President of Public Relations at the next meeting, not save the email records and that kind of thing. I just think it's a wording that's a little kind of scary for some of us.
You're motioning to amend the amendment.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And then,
change
the word email
to
the
correspondence.
If you come up with that, that's not the question. It's the second word, sir. Thanks, Frank. Fine. So you come up with that. Okay. The speaker's list is still open. We're going to re-add that to 18. Do you have any motion or amendment?
The amendment motion would be to read the correspondence to be reported at the next FA meeting by the Vice
been a second. So you, again, we're on the intended to the motion, so you can be kind of friendly. Okay. Speaking of motion, still open.
We're all friends.
Yeah, and I guess just to reiterate, keep in mind, obviously, you know, especially to remember that we read this as a manual this beginning of the semester, so it is very much so that you can change the document. And you know, we look at this beginning of the semester to get out done this semester. So I definitely support, you know, keeping the paper record and, you know, making sure everything's open and honest. So I'll call questions and then.
Just call questions for a second. Okay, so the amendment is your handbook. All in favor of, so the amendment is Rule 18 reads, all of the reads for Rule 18, including that front up, the last sentence reads, the correspondence must be reported at the next SA meeting by the Vice President of Public Relations. So, please raise your hand and, excuse me, all in favor of the amendment, please raise your hand. All opposed? Abstained? Okay. Another passes. Thank you. The speaker's list is open for any other standing rules.
Yeah, I have a question about
No, I'm pretty sure that's against tolerance to hear from the end. Before you can.
And also, the rule of 16, I would like to know why I'm using
what time. Of what section we start?
6.
Mm-hmm.
What the reason was behind the data that was raised.
I just think it was necessary. I like to set that.
Anyone else? Meeting is open. Any motion?
Can I call a question?
No.
Any
motion? I'm going to call a question if there's a second.
Second.
Any dissent? Okay. Clerk is going to call the roll for this.
Yes.
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 Okay. Thank you. 14-0. 2008-2009 standing rules are approved. Thank you, Chris. Customers just clap when they need an extra. Next on business of the day is Resolution 3, or as it reads on your hard copy, we blank. That is Resolution 3, regarding 2008 fall undergraduate election rules, submitted by Director of Election McDermott, PC Mendy, and Representative Hardy. Welcome
to you.
Constituency transitions of new freshman and current candidates shall be any new
You can, it's yours, so you can change it.
It should read, transitions of new freshmen and transfer students shall be any new undergraduate student being at their own undergraduate. And whether or not that's for headed or like
so just to clarify that again, it's the be it therefore resolved clause at the last
minute. And it's the after where you will be able to go into the fall on the road, and it should be in the underground
community. Okay, I can add it. You okay?
I'm saying it needs much more clarification, maybe
kind of on a personal note, one of the reasons I thought there was a lot of merit in this was I was a transfer student. You know, I lived outside of the transfer center. I was in class 26 when I was still there. So I definitely understand the frustration of many transfer students trying to have to go around. If you want to go get signatures from another building, you have to do the e-form, and you have to go through all other kinds of paperwork to just get to be able to do that if you don't live in that building. So I think that this is something that kind of helps make the process, I don't want to say easier, but more conducive to involvement from everyone from a larger base. So I think it's definitely something that is a progress that you need to keep that
for. Okay. Okay, this is Representative Craig. I think this is a good resolution. I remember
the conference meeting with the Ambassador of Australia, and I was trying to do this. I think also you have a question for other minority members. I was thinking this is one of the LGBTQ, and I was wondering sort of how does this topic sort of reflect that, and you know, how does that represent?
Well, what it refers to is for the transfer and freshman piece, the bylaw states about new students and not three children in freshman or one children in transfer. From there, it's an army of the bylaws and the ability for the definition of property. The LGBTQ piece, that is a self-identifying piece, so therefore the university and ourselves cannot clearly state we must receive signatures from those that are self-identifying and being accurate. Therefore, it is considered for signatures and property to be outlawed. It means signatures from each university.
Oh, sorry. Let's finish some more.
Everyone coming in, you know, there's a new team, so we kind of wanted to be a little bit broad, new
Very good.
The reason why it starts making sense to put together is because it makes it a lot easier to say, we're going to merge two constituent views, and this way, any of the constituent views can follow the same rules and that rule is the transformation of the agency. To say that there are two separate constituent views between compression and transfer, and then to require transfer to be able to get committed outside of the constituent view, but on compression, is not really
clear.
So, I think that was
one. And, for Professor Smith.
Okay, I was just kind of confused that,
the concern I have is that there is a possibility that if the rule has a state, I can transfer to get 50 plus considering the rule of construction, that means 5 signatures on the petition from other transfers. Wings are now holding only 12 transfers in the dorm. There's nowhere online that you can find a list of where all of the transfers live, and like I said, all of the committees for the transfers are over. So you have to understand the fact that some of people find the petition or not, because I don't know if that's any staff allowing the transfers and only local transfers. But it was a way that many candidates be able to get on the ballot with our main concern.
Yes,
sir. And yeah, that we talked about as well. Loan signatures coming up with a sort of percentage scale of, oh, you label signatures must be transportation, signatures must be anyone. And what it came down to is we don't want to be a number today on this situation, which was later according to the situation of, oh, the hotel school is law and the ag school, therefore I should only be allowed to have 80%, 20%, 25% versus 50%. This now the number is the same across the board. These are numbers alone in the rules. We're not changing numbers requirements for change. And still reaching our goal of not making it easier for the doesn't make it easier, but that wasn't our goal. It allows the transfer to have an opportunity to run on top of the business. So I'm not sure the number.
I don't think we have 50 transfers that vote in a transfer election. Typically, I know that when I ran for transfer PC, it was like 36 votes or 20 something votes. It was this unbelievably low number that voted. I mean, it wasn't even 50 people that signed the form. So we're not getting a huge turnout for transfers. I'd like to see that change. But in all reality, it's not going to be transfers to vote.
I'm actually a bit confused about this because so you're saying that for teams you said instruction transfer to get an instructor so many transfers, right? And then you say that this is essentially gonna make it easier for transfers to get more signatures because by breaking the things instead of they no longer have access to all these things that are coming. That's correct. Well, I'm not really sure if that would be true, simply given that, are you familiar with the distribution of the students this year? Because what happens is that a lot of the transfers are scattered in the classroom on the Western Calgary, with the exception of the townhouse, which is around 3/4 transfer. So I think, while I do understand it, I think I do emphasize that the skill of this, which is trying to maybe break down the barriers to making from graduation efficiencies, I'm just not sure if practically it's going to work very well. Simply because, okay, so the transfer fees in the houses, it doesn't really correct the problem because they can only, in order to get signatures to run for the election, they can still only get it from transfer to freshmen, but all freshmen and transfers are on the campus for the other houses. So it's not really making it easier. I mean, not terribly easier.
Well, I mean, it makes it easy because it's not easy to find where the transfers are located. Not easily accessible. Like everybody knows that freshmen are not campus. So yes, if you have to travel to North Campus, once they get there, they need some pressure. So it does make sense.
Well, I'm not really sure if that's the point of whether it's easier to find transfers in Western or not. By the way, I have a few transfers, so I'm not familiar with how the industry works right now. I actually wonder if maybe it would achieve a goal to increase the number of signatures mandated for these positions, because it might be a slightly more elegant system.
kind of go to, I'm just stepping it, I'm not even stepping it as an thing that we'll consider. Just because I'm not entirely sure that it's how my future will end up being. But, I mean, again,
you mentioned increasing the number of service charges. No, decreasing.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things we had talked about was you. How do you come up with 50? You know, how do you come up with 25, 50, or 75? We have 50 set as kind of what it is generally across the board. So our feeling was we wanted to stick with the 50 as a number because we didn't want to get into some arbitrary number game. So, well, how are we going to get 25? Well, if I'm in a small cluster of only 10, and somebody else is a cluster of 50, or 25, or even a cluster of 5, what is the number? You know, so that's why we developed a testing system with 50 across the board. People wouldn't then challenge the fact that, you know, well, how do you pick a number for this one? You know, can you change the number for, you know, this key or that key, or can you do something, you know, there? That's what we want to do.
You're down. You're on your last minute. Okay. Well, I think that's a good point. My question to you, though, is just to have almost a ready-made justification. I mean, what's the percentage of students that have for professors to have about? Well, I mean, I understand that it's kind of difficult that if you're putting out writing more students than that. But I think we get a guest director of less than that, it would just mean that that's kind of your perpetual determinant if there does need to be a guest director
or whatnot. But again, I don't really want to get into that. Right, and let me just point out to all of you, and you probably not going to be fair on it. The elections may have to go through half the question of the business, and this isn't half the question of the body election committee, and it's standing for this election as a discussion. What we're doing here is have a part of the rule. So that it's much more formal for everyone to see. So this would be as an exception to the rule for the transfer
in the question. Just to clarify, right, there was an action of the committee, the student assembly can overturn any action of the committee by two-thirds vote. Next is Representative Engine.
Yeah, so the only other thing that has been held to look like a better data is that we do not have all candidates categorized to make the entire field of the school. To overturn the
question. Going to call questions in a second.
Second.
Just a
second.
Just a second. Can you explain your intent?
Sure. I was on the second speaker. What were you calling the question? If it's already happening, I think it takes time to sort of come to a more benefit to everyone, especially the community. It doesn't matter if they have time. So,
so we're going to vote to vote. I want to take a call of questions. Please raise your hand. All opposed? Okay, motion passed. Speaker Swift is now to Vice President Miller.
Thank you. In the chairman's earlier remarks, we heard him speak on the value of the city having a less bureaucratic assembly that is less entrenched with the rules and more open to the spirit of making the student assembly more accessible to Cornell body as a whole. This rule, as it stands right now, does not directly hurt anyone. In fact, it opens the door for more members of our diverse community to join the student assembly. This rule is not negatively affecting anyone as I see it. In fact, it's just helping them become a part of the student assembly. We want to encourage them to join the assembly by having this minor exception, which honestly was brought up by a few members and it just helped them plug the bone, right? But they're new. There are 37 expressions in itself like 50 signatures. We have 50 signatures. I'm mentioning I have 50 engineers from now. This is just a help and be friendly so that we're all welcome to the assembly. We would love to have them at least one with the opportunity to voice their opinions on great body.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in the first speaker's list?
I'm sorry, Emlyn, I thought you spoke already. Emlyn.
I thoroughly agree with
you.
I think it's good. The
Thank you. Did I
teach
you
this? I think so. Okay. Thank you for the presentation.
I mean, I guess my only concern with decreasing, you know, aside from what Ari just said, discussing decreasing the number of signatures, which again should be a discussion of the election rules for next year. This, I believe, was and is sort of stopgap measure, as Ari just said, to make it easier for transfer students. It isn't necessarily the long-term solution that we want to, you know, accept. But, you know, it's the fact that the 50 signatures really is sort of, you know, a litmus test about how badly you want to run. And if you're saying 5 signatures, 2 signatures, you know, so what? We get 40 candidates running for a seat because it was so easy to run. I think that sort of dilutes the process, and that the 50 signatures really means that, you know, you have to want it. But at the same time, you know, finding 50 transfer signatures again is a very difficult task without a transfer center, which is why we wanted, in making it just new students, to reflect, I guess, both a commitment on the part of the person who's running and sort of the practical ability to collect those signatures with a reasonable amount of effort. So I guess I'll yield the rest of my time to Mezzi.
We all have one vote. Our social representatives are all the same. We're all equal. So I don't know if they're out there that if you want to change the number of signatures, do it across the board. Because really what you're saying is that one piece is different from another when we're all the same. You know, arts and sciences, they have a ton of people in their school. They have, you know, 50 signatures. Hotel is about, you know, 800. They have
100
signatures. So if you're going to change the numbers, don't put a value on constituency. And I think you should leave it at the same number across the board. And if you want to change it, change it across the board. The other thing I suppose is broken.
Representative Engelmeyer.
No, I absolutely agree that I think the numbers should be consistent across the board. I think part of what we're getting at, and obviously we're not in discussion now, is what are the points of getting the signatures in the first place. I thought of this before I heard this person sort of believe that, but I mean, I kind of think that having many people run for student assembly is possible, even if half of them are a joke, is so much better than having one person run who automatically gets along and it doesn't matter if anyone votes. So,
all right, I'm about to move on to the second speaker's list, unless there's someone that wanted to speak on the first. Okay, let's go to the panel.
Yeah, I guess my opinion is not really the amount of required, but the fact that freshmen would be able to sign the decision even though they can't vote. I would approach voting about the vote, like, I'm going to set up for, you know, the art.
Representative Craig.
Not necessarily that I'm saying
you guys want to respond with you?
In the bylaws, it does say that four shall be new students, and bylaws here to be three students, three shall be elected by new students in every fall semester. One additional student shall be designated to transfer students, shall be elected by transfer students, and held by a transfer student. That's what the bylaws say on the students that we're discussing right now. These rules are open to the fall. New rules will be brought out by the election committee for the spring. The time analysis is coming through these lines. Finally, as the numbers and appropriations, there is a study by 2L now 3L in the law school that the former members of the student assembly calling for an entire change to the entire election system. So this conversation was about the student assembly. There are people who say that our percentages give a better advantage to a student to be represented in the state of law school. So don't be a good first to have questions about the numbers of applications or how they are.
This resolution, I think it was sort of a gesture from the election committee to make it more formal and formally notify you all. This is an action of the election committee, so this happened, and if you overturn what the SA, the two-thirds majority vote. Essentially, no. If you want to change this rule, which involves materials that are doing approximately 4 days from now, you can do that by overturning the action of the committee.
I'm not saying
it's true.
It's just by voting on this, overturning.
You're voting on this? Come again. I didn't hear your last part.
That means that our vote, whatever it may be, voted to overturn the
committee.
That's the only
thing. No, you have to motion overturn the committee. Good point. Okay, next in the speaker was Emily.
I was
going to
touch on actually what I was going to bring up again, but I was going to pass out saying that it's not really fair like going to numbers and everything like that, but I think, I know when I was going through with it, a lot of students won't get signed. They'll be like, well, what do you want to do? Like, what exactly does SA do? And they want to talk more about it. So even the transfers are having that conversation with freshmen, they're still getting people involved in the assembly. And I think that when we talked a lot less, the assembly decided we want to be a lot more like out there and have this kind of community like see us doing something and being like a parent. So I don't think it hurts at all. I think it helps greatly to just get more people involved and have more conversations. And again, I'm gonna repeat what I said, that I think that this is very similar to the students and transfers, so we're in the same boat, so it's not here.
Representative Andrews. Huey McDermott.
Thank you.
covers what? Is that the part I don't have in front of me? Is that in the charter?
It's in the charter, yeah. I was talking about my
okay. So I just want to remind everyone that you bring up open points that are all valid and great. Some changes happen in residential life with open access centers, so we're kind of trying to figure out what we're going to do right now. The scope of the 2008 fall undergraduate election are the 2008 fall season election. This discussion I'll actually tell you to bring up later when you suggest that I expect resolutions from people on this thereafter, but we're in the fall elections right now. And so I think we're actually going to do our best to try to come back with a new change that really, you know, didn't have adequate time to deal with. You're all bringing up points that need addressed, and I expect resolutions on it in further meetings. Next time, three people are to leave.
Yeah, in fact, I mean, serious, you know, just simple situation in the short term. But probably that, you know, that should be a solution. If you want to propose and talk about it, that should be it. When does it start? I mean, clearly should be a discussion. I'm not very familiar with this, but
when is the
discussion? Is there a discussion? Like, when you were mentioning that people are thinking of completely changing the whole rules and all that. When do we have this on the agenda? And
when?
Like, is this something that we're going to spring for the spring election? Or
is there
something
to do?
Involved in this?
We're going to have an internal meeting very soon, probably next week. It'll be an email from me. You won't make the agenda. So you draft resolutions, you draft announcements, you draft discussions on business today. So you guys create the agenda, whoever, any community member could add something to the agenda if they post properly within the same member. So whenever you want, it's up to all of you to make the agenda. That's internal stuff. We will deal with that on our SA retreat. I know we have a lot of new members to educate. I certainly recognize that. We're going to get to it. Representative Sustina, Representative Table.
I'd like to call a question.
Second. It's been a second. Is there any dissent?
Clerk, could you call the roll?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Okay, thank you unanimously. Thank you, Elections Committee Representative.
Can you vote on that today? Or is it a question of duty?
What?
My decision. Can you just look at it?
Yes. Next on new business, Resolution 2, creation of an ad hoc committee. Academic Integrity Drafting Committee by D.T. Davis.
Well, actually, this is new business, so they will just work this day. Can you do that?
Does he think that he can get, and in fact, he can't hear any instructions, it's just for questions. So there are none. So next time it would be different for the day.
We're going to do the discussion right now. Do you call the hearing?
Yes. We are. Okay, that concludes business of the day and business. We're now going to executive session. There is a closing meeting of at the record.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.